Now, I want to ask you today some questions about the practical ramifications of this doctrine. Some would argue that the doctrine of election encourages fatalism and discourages people from being evangelistic. What do they mean by that? Where are they coming from, and how would you respond to that?
Well, I think that's a straw man. How could the doctrine of election lead to fatalism and indifference to evangelism when you understand that the elect are gathered together only one way, and that is through the preaching of the gospel? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Faith comes by hearing the message concerning Jesus Christ. Nobody's ever going to be saved apart from the gospel, apart from the truth of Christ. That's why we're told to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Furthermore, the decree of God and just who the elect are is unknown to us. Somebody criticized Spurgeon one time and said, "Oh, if you believe that, why don't you just preach to the elect?" And he said, "Well, if you'll pull up their shirt tails so I can see if they have an E stamped on their back, maybe I will." Facetious, of course, since we don't know who they are, but we do know that no one will be saved apart from the preaching of the gospel. We understand then that we, in the faithful proclamation of the gospel, are the means by which God sovereignly saves those whom he has sovereignly chosen.
Based on what you're saying there, I would think that you might say your convictions about the biblical doctrine of election actually make you a more determined evangelist rather than being negligent about it.
Yeah, and you know what they do, Phil? They make me determined to preach the clear gospel. If I believed that I could get people saved and that people basically produce their own salvation by their own will, then I would be on Charles Finney's side of the fence, and I'd be saying anything that manipulates the will, any way we can manipulate the will, we got to manipulate the will. So we come up with an anxious bench, we come up with a mourner's bench, we hammer people's emotions, we sing 54 verses of the invitation hymn, we play the mood music, we do whatever we need to do to get them to move their will. What happens then is truth becomes minimized and manipulation becomes maximized. And now we're looking at style, we're looking at technique. It's still with us. I mean, that's defining evangelicalism today. It's creating, I've heard people say in the big crusades, well, I've been in sessions where people have said, now if you really want to get people saved, you've got to prime the pump. Well, how do you prime the pump? Well, you put all the counselors up in the audience, you put all the counselors' wives up in the audience, in the mass of humanity, and you put the people who are ushers and whoever else, and as soon as the invitation's given, all you people on cue, you start coming to the front. You start pouring down, and the evangelist says, look at them, they're all coming, and people will get caught up in the flow because the pump is primed. That is a staple, has been a staple in mass evangelism for years. What does that have to do with the work of God? It has absolutely nothing to do with it. But if you think that you can manipulate the will of people, then that's what you do. I think the doctrine of election forces the evangelist to say the message is clear. The message is the issue. The truth must be proclaimed. So I'm much more concerned with the clarity of the gospel and with a passionate appeal based upon that gospel, short of any manipulation whatsoever that might give somebody sort of an emotional pressure that would make them do something that was not really the work of God. So the first thing that happens when you believe in the doctrine of election is it forces you in your evangelism to focus on the truth, because the power is in the truth. God converts through a true presentation of the gospel. The second thing is you don't bear the full burden of response. People say to me, are you disappointed when you preach and a lot of people aren't saved? And my answer is, I'm disappointed when I preach and I don't get it right. I'm disappointed when I preach and I haven't studied well enough. I'm disappointed when I preach and I don't make it clear. I'm disappointed when I preach and I haven't given my whole heart to the preaching to exhaust that passage and to plead with sinners. But I can't control the response. That's not my job. If I thought, actually, if I thought that people went to heaven based upon my ability to convince them, I couldn't live with it. I couldn't live with the fact that hell was being populated by my inabilities. I can't carry that load. And yet you see some, this is an amazing thing to me, some of the most slap-happy evangelists, some of the most slapstick carnival kind of evangelism, which is really popular today, by these guys up there who think, you know, they're wowing the crowd and getting people in the kingdom, and isn't it great? Do they really believe that it's their style that is converting people? Because if they do, then it's also their lack of connection that's damning other people. That's just way too much responsibility. I don't know, if I were an evangelist and I felt that people's salvation depended upon my ability to manipulate or move them, if I believed that, I couldn't live with it. I mean, that would be such an overwhelming burden that I think I'd go mad with that.